Second Corinthians again, and we're going to look at verses 7 through 10 for the second time, and we're going to cover those last two points that we had last week. We talked about Paul's problem and Paul's prayer, and today we're going to talk about Paul's power and Paul's praise. I hope I can get to Paul's praise, because Paul's power is exhaustive. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. I may want to read a little more just to bring everything in context, what was going on with Paul at this time and why he wrote this. Let's do all of 12 all the way through verse 10. Paul chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10.
Amen.
Paul said, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. So I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Of such a one will I glory. Yet not of myself, I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong.
Amen.
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 Amen. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the Apostle Paul and how greatly you used them. Thank you for the abundance of revelations you gave him. And most of all, thank you for keeping him humble, Father God.
Amen.
Humble enough to write 13 books of the Word of God, Father God. And we still today, Father God, we cherish and we praise you for being so great. Father, thank you for the people that are here, Father God. We pray that you would just bless their ears and their hearts and their minds. Let them go home encouraged and empowered from this service. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm reading this and I'm reading and I'm thinking. I'm like, man, I hear all the time people talk to me about movies, about people who went to heaven. A little kid went to heaven.
Amen.
Came home. All dogs go to heaven. Dog came back home. Start talking about it. Talking about heaven, what they saw. And they say, what do you think about that? I say, it was a lie.
Amen.
You just got to be dogmatic. There ain't no wiggle room in it. It's just like, has anybody been to heaven and come back and start talking about it? And the only person the Word of God talked about that was in the third heaven, Paul said, I can't even talk about it.
Amen.
So if Paul couldn't talk about it, I ain't listening to a little 7-year-old boy tell me he went to heaven. And good movie, you know, it's Hollywood. Yeah, line it up. So if somebody asks, well, you know, he's seen stuff that really happened. Okay. All right. Jurassic Park and breaking all the records. Dinosaurs. We don't want to talk about the dinosaurs today. We talked about Paul's problem last week in verse 7. Paul had a problem. One that we all should share. God had been so good to Paul. Amen. And had blessed Paul so much. Paul was afraid and worried and concerned that he may become exalted. That he would get too high and mighty. It says in verse 7, he said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation." Listen, God was using Paul. Paul was being used and God was using Paul, and he was writing the word of God. He was writing the word of God. It was just flowing out of Paul. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and Paul was just flowing. The word of God was just flowing out of him, and he was putting it on paper, and it was being canonized. And Paul said, you know, man, I preached one good sermon. And I go on sermon audio, and that sermon, 50 people listened on the first day. I'm thinking I've done something. Be exalted beyond measure. And we have to be careful. This is what the word of God is saying here. And Paul is saying, listen, I didn't want to be exalted. Because God can't use you. Amen. See, Satan can use you when you get high on the horse. But God can't use you. See, and Paul knew because Paul had to be knocked down. Okay? He had to experience some brokenness and some pain before God could use him because Paul thought he had it going on. And if you read Paul's testimony, he said, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Of the tribe of Benjamin. The best tribe. Okay? Circumcised on the 8th day. Set under the seat. I went to Harvard. I'm a Harvard graduate. Out of the Ohio State University. Yeah, you know the type. What they tell you can't tell me nothing.
Right.
I know it all. Some folks in my house like that. Paul, unless I become exalted, that was a problem for Paul. Wouldn't be a problem for many of us. We'd be like the brother from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Got the $500,000, $600,000 kitted out Bentley. Ride that through the hood. Car worth more than the whole school system.
Amen.
That's a little bit out there, ain't it? Mm-hmm. Now I'm speaking as a man now. Because if I was 25 and somebody gave me a $70 million contract, I might have a kitted out Bentley. But if I didn't know the Lord, I might have five of them. Look at me. Look at me. Paul was worried about that. He was concerned. That was his problem. He was concerned about being exalted. It was a major problem for Paul. We talked about it last week. I'm going to get to Paul's power. But then Paul not only did he say he had a problem with being exalted, he had a problem with, in his life, Satan had given him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. We don't want to sit here and question, what was it? The word of God didn't say. So when God's word is silent, we ought to be silent. We know it was something. Most people think it was people. It was people who confronted him and questioned his apostolic authority. People that questioned his teachings. That's always the problem when Paul said, nobody taught me. God taught me. He said, God taught me, no man taught me, but they continue to question his apostolic authority. And people will. People will question you. You tell them you're a man of God? You tell them why you praise like that? Good question. Why you praise like that, Coop? Better have an answer. The Bible says always have an answer for the hope that's in you. Okay? Why are you going to church every Sunday? Somebody asked Jake, some of you guys that are steady. Why are you going to church every Sunday, sit on them hard benches and listen to that man? And then give him your money. That's what the world thinks.
Amen.
And you ought to have an answer. And that's why we was talking this morning. Somebody said, good morning to me. You better be ready. What's so good about it? I'm coming at you. None of my kids that say morning. They didn't say morning. Lord have mercy. What's so good about it? What's so good about this morning? I'm here. I get another day. I get another day to worship God and to praise the Lord and hear God's word. That's the first. That's a start. Then we start talking about our peoples. I get to be with my people. I get to be with the people of God one more time. One more day. I get to be with the people of God. Man, I get to sing today. Our choir's singing today. I'm excited about that. I mean, we ought to be. I get to do the responsive reading today. Woo! Thank you, Lord. He asked me to pray. That's good stuff. I get to usher today in God's house. When 10 years ago, I'd have came in there and robbed it.
Say it again.
Ain't that something? It's offering time. I got paid this week. I get to give God some money.
Amen.
Just a little thing. It's a thank him.
Amen.
Man, I can't wait to offering time. Ain't that something?
Amen.
Deacon Oliver sitting there. Next week, I get my check. I can't wait to write the church a check. My phone is starting ringing again.
That's
the good stuff.
Amen.
Family will start calling me. You know, some old folks don't get no calls till the first of the month. Grandma. Paul's prayer for this thing. Paul's prayer. He said, for this thing, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. What's he talking about? Remember the prayer in Gethsemane when the Lord was going through. The Bible says he was sweating what? Great drops of blood. He went to the Lord. He went to God, said three times, listen. And God told Jesus the same thing. Go on. Get to the cross. Take care of your business. You ain't hear Jesus complain not one more time. You ain't hear him complain about nothing. Somebody say little thing. That's what we ready. Fight. Oh, they spit on your Savior. They slapped your Savior. They put a crown of thorns on him. They mocked him. They called him every name in the book. And the Bible says he never said a mumbling word. I'm going to be Christ-like. Somebody said, I want to be Christ-like. Okay. You better deal with that. Because in this world, you're going to get talked about. Lied on. Cheated. Robbed. Lied on. And liable to get spit on. That's popular now. Folks spitting on folks. Because it's with the end times. And you standing there and nothing bothering you. Then they hop tooie on you. Dig it all the way up from the belly. Right in your face. Did you say you ain't there yet?
No.
Keep working on it.
No.
Keep working on it. Any of y'all there yet? Other than me and Dave Dunleavy? But Paul went to the Lord three times. Okay? Once, twice, three times he went to the Lord. And the Lord said, listen, Paul, my grace is sufficient. My grace is enough. You have all the power you need in my grace. We was talking yesterday, Deacon Oliver and Dave and I. We was talking about these churches. They seeker friendly. This ain't nobody seeking the Lord. Okay? Okay? Anybody? See, he said it. No man comes to the Father lest he is drawn. You know, they sitting here talking about, you know, you walking out of a bar, you staggering. Well, you know, I'm going to stop drinking and go to church tomorrow. No. You're going to get behind the wheel and you're going to try to kill somebody. That's what you're going to do, and you're going to do it next week and the week after until you are sinking. See? Well, I call it sinker faith. When you sinking, we're talking about it. The woman with the issue of blood. The word of God talks about her. She had sinker faith. Okay? The word says that she exhausted all her means of all her money. Let me find that, because if I read it, it comes out better. Luke chapter 8. Let me read this to you. I thought this was fantastic. Another one of those fantastic verses in the Bible. Luke 8, 43. This is good. Luke 8, 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years. Now, you became a woman back in those days at 13. Okay? So it likely she had this issue since the time she started her menstrual cycle. There's a possibility that this thing had been bothering her up until she was 25, just bleeding. See, and some of them, we got issues. Okay? Now, here's a woman with an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians. See, she wasn't coming to the Lord long as there was one quarter in her account and one doctor that had taken. Okay? And as long as you got an ounce of strength in you, I'm going to get myself together. I'm going to turn my life around. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. See, until you on there. And them little four fingers is all this sticking out of water. Then you might call on the Lord. You'd be like Peter. Peter was walking good on that water until he took his eyes off the Lord. And as soon as he started going under, then we had a little quick prayer. Lord, save me. See, some of us had to get there before we give it all up to the Lord. But this woman the Bible says she had spent all her living upon physicians. Neither could be healed of any. She had a God-sized problem. Okay? Neither could any heal her. And she came behind him and touched the border of his garment. Touch of faith. Preached on this. She touched the border of his garment, the hem of his garment. And that word touch means she grabbed it. That don't mean she just, now she yanked on that. She yanked on it. She touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stopped.
Yeah.
How about that? She just reached out and grabbed him, and it stopped. Because she latched on to the power of God. And Jesus knew that power had came from him. Power had left him. He said, who touched me? Remember yesterday I was talking at the picnic. You know, folks come to the Lord. The Bible said the power to heal was there. But nobody tapped into it. Power of God to heal is right here today. Not in me. Not in Cuba. Hey, listen. I reached out on Rita yesterday, and you know, I told her, I said, I'm not a prophet. I'm not a healer because I touched the wrong knee. I touched her knee. I said, I'm going to heal that knee. She said, that's the wrong one. It wouldn't have mattered. Okay. Listen. He came up behind him and touched him. And touched the border of the garment. And immediately her issue stopped. Mm-hmm. See, when you touch God, your issue stopped. Amen. People don't realize that. I know there's a whole lot of doctors out there. I'm going to send them to go to school. Go over here. Take a class. Take 12 steps. Take 13 steps. Take 14 steps. You know what? Touch Jesus. Mm-hmm. Latch on to him. And don't let go. Now she tried to get away. She tried to get away. Without giving God his praise. Jesus said, who touched me? Who touched me? And the apostles of Peter said, here's Peter. Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee. And thou sayest, who touched me? And Jesus said, listen, somebody touched me. He knew. He knew. He says, whoever touched me and got that kind of power needs to give me praise. Okay? See, we got to get a mic. Testimony time.
Amen. Good day, ready.
Listen, let me tell you something. If you truly been blessed, truly been delivered, truly been saved, you don't need no mic. Amen. You don't know how to listen. Amen. First, give an honor to God. Who's the head of my life? No. That ain't what happened here. When God saves somebody and truly touches them, they ain't going to be shy about it at all. And watch what this woman does. Watch what this woman do. Here it is. Jesus says, somebody touch me. For I perceive that virtue has gone out of me, how power has left me. And I need whoever got my power, I need to let everybody know.
Amen.
I just believe we're in a world of powerless Christians. We just in a world of powerless Christians. We in a world of counterfeits. Undercover, incognito, camouflage. Don't even know the end. They need to know. Tell somebody. You know, start today. You know Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Why you act like that? Well, one of the reasons why people don't know that we don't act like we know. This boy from the Pittsburgh Steelers, let everybody know I got money. I got money to burn. He letting everybody know. I got money to burn. I got a $500,000 kitted out Bentley with my name on the side of it. That's how we ought to live. I don't want to tell nobody. I don't want people mad at me. Well, you know what? They're going to be mad at you. They're going to be mad when they're in hell. And they feel, man, I worked with that joker for 20 years. He never said nothing. Who touched me? Look at this, verse 47. And the woman saw that she was not healed. And she came trembling. What did Paul say? Philippians? Work out your salvation. How? Fear and trembling. Y'all see me up here. I'll be shaking every Sunday. I'll be shaking.
All right.
I remember the first time I preached at the prison. I preached at the prison. And I'm up there by myself. All them inmates and convicts in there. And I'm preaching. And I ain't got nobody in there with me. I'm just shaking. Look at this woman. And falling down before him. There you go. That's a picture of reverence. That's a picture of respect for the king. She knew she was in the presence of the king. Who is this king? King of glory. And she declared. Now I'm going to stop right there. But that's a strong word. That's a strong word. And where else? She didn't whisper. She wasn't shy about it. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. She gave a testimony. Now let me dig a little deeper into that. Because see, if you go back up to verse number 39. She declared to all the people. She didn't have a microphone. And look who was there. Verse 39. The whole city. Okay? The whole city, a multitude of people came and thronged him. And she spoke in a way that all of them heard. She was screaming that thing. She was happy that she was delivered. Oh, man. Let's talk about Paul's power. Let's talk about Paul's power. Paul had great power. Dynamite power. And I think about it. He was coming up. Some of us in here, older, looking around. We remember we watched Popeye. I know, Jake, you had to go on YouTube. We watched Popeye. How many remember Popeye? Right. Man, we remember Popeye. Come on. Doot, doot. We knew what time it was. Jump front TV. Doot, doot. I'm Popeye the Sailor, man. Doot, doot. Then Brutus come along. Oh, Popeye, you in trouble. And we knew, even then, we might not know like we know that. Brutus represented the devil. He represented evil, because Popeye represented good. And Popeye was always about taking care of his girlfriend, whatever her name was, Olivia, whatever, the little skinny thing. Olive oil. Did Jake say olive oil? Oh, you is old. Olive oil. And Brutus wanted olive oil. Y'all know what I mean. This is a hard crowd. This is a hard crowd. I could never do stand up. Okay, so, all right.
What's his name? Blue?
There you go.
Got Popeye in a headlock. Popeye in trouble. Turning blue, all that. Doo doo. Can of spinach. I don't know where he got it from. I can never figure out where he got this can of spinach from. But he always had a can of spinach on him. Like our cell phones now. And he in a headlock, he turning all different colors. Pow, he squeezes it. The spinach come out of the can. Right in his mouth. Boom, boom, boom. I mean, it was all bad after that. That's how grace works. That's how grace works. How did I get that grace? You got to want it. Amen. You got to need it. You got to understand it. And then you have to have a relationship with the giver. Amen. Of grace. Let me say that again. You have to have a relationship with the giver of grace. Listen, Joshua. Joshua had a relationship with the giver of grace. Joshua 1:9. And he's a little trouble. He's got a big task on his hands. And God stops and speaks to Joshua and says, in Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded thee? Am I not your boss? Am I not in charge? Have I not put you in charge and told you that you were going to be all right and that you were going to accomplish great things? Sometimes we still get a little trouble. Nothing wrong with it. I talked to Paula yesterday. She looks concerned. A little trouble. Got a knee surgery. That's some serious stuff. Amen. A little trouble. I'm a little trouble, Pastor. We'll be praying for you. But be strong and of good courage. That's what God told Joshua. And I say the same thing, Paula, or whoever's going through. Jackie gonna be a little concerned when the water breaks. Gonna be a little concerned there. Oh, yeah. Okay, but then the same message goes to you: be strong. Amen. And of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God. And the key is thy God, personal. Now, if he's not thy God, then you got reason to be concerned. And you need to take the word of God literally. Mm-hmm. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithsoever thou goest. But you got to make sure he, thy God. We sang that song. I sometimes think it's right. Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. He's not on the main line if you're not on the main line. Okay? You just can't call him up if you don't know him. Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 15 and 10, he says this, but by the grace of God, by the power of God, I am what I am. And I'm talking about a picture of humility there with Paul. And he says, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Why, Paul? But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. And again, talk about Popeye always having that can of spinach on him. You ought to have your can of grace on you all the time. Because you don't ever know when you're going to tap into it. We walk around here and we don't have no power. We just leave our power at home. Well, some of us leave it in church on Sunday. We just pick it up on next Sunday. Like our Bibles in the back of our back window. I look all my parking lot. I see them Bibles all curled up from the sun. When they took that out last? Oh, that's their church, their car Bible. Paul understood where his power came from. Amen. He had that. We talked about last week. Mm-hmm. Having the grace of God. It takes grace to be married. It takes grace to die. We don't like to talk about that. Pastor talk about dying all the time. Why? Why? You're going to die. Why you don't? What do you want me to talk about? You know, when the days is over and folks live to be 786 years old. You're not going to live to be 786. Methuselah is gone. Well, Pastor, tell me I'm going to live to be 786. Surely, no. You're not going to live to be 786. Get ready. Surely, no. I know. Let's be truthful. The word of God is true. Most of us in here, my age, we got 10, 15, 20 more good ones. Maybe, God willing. That's it. Time is short. Let's get ready to go. Get right, church. Let's go home. I'm going to live to be at least 185. Maybe not 786, 185. All right. You hang on to that. You need grace. Young folks, you need grace to stay single. Oh, man, come on now, Pastor. You always want the young people. This is y'all's church. Y'all part of this ministry. You need, it takes grace to stay single. In the world, you need a relationship. You need a relationship. If you can't find a man, find a woman. You just need a relationship. Wow. You just got to be in a relationship. Mm-mm. 13 years old, going to prom. Huh? Hey, I can't find a date. Maybe it's somebody from the NFL, the NBA, take me to the prom. Dude, it's not that important. Amen. You need a relationship with the Lord. Take the Lord to the prom. Take the Lord to the prom. You can't even say the Lord's name. Graduation is now. They got to read it. They know you're a Christian. I'm a Christian. Well, you can't say Jesus. Well, I can't say nothing. Amen. I work hard for these all A's. You ain't work as hard as God did. By dying on the cross. Amen. How's your grace? Paul said, I got grace. He said, my grace was sufficient for a battle. Paul said, my grace is sufficient for a battle. That's what Paul said. Be strong in the Lord. In the power of what? Of his might. Man, we need grace. God is good. God is grace. Let us thank him for our food. Amen. Y'all know that one. Amen. Start digging in. God is good. Amen. God is grace. Let us thank him for everything. Amen. The Bible said everything Give thanks to the Lord because he is good. Romans 5, Paul's talking again about the power of grace and how it will equip you. Some of you are getting defeated. Some of you getting beat down. And some of you depressed and worried and weary. Grace is low. Shannon wanted to mess with my phone this morning. I said, well, where's your phone with yours? Mine on 20%. See, some folks didn't hear grace on 20%.
Amen.
Grace low. I ain't always telling folks grace low. They get quick. They get short with folks. Ready to slap somebody and fight. I'm going to punch you in your nose. Grace low. Grace low. What if every time we get out of line, God punched us in our nose? What if every time we got out of God's will, God got mad at us? Got angry with us? I don't want God angry with me. When I was coming out, the last thing I wanted to do was make my dad angry with me. I wanted my dad happy with me. I told you, I was his dear son. He loved me more than any of them. I know he did. I did. I told everything. Not me. Wasn't me. That one. I was the black sheep of the family. They still don't call me. God's grace equips us for battle. Romans 5, it says this. Paul, here's Paul. Being justified by faith. We have peace with God. That's a great, great question. Do you have peace with God? Have you been justified by faith? Do you have peace with God? Let me tell you, if you want to give you one little quick check, how you getting along with other folks? Okay? That lets you know if you got peace with God. God got along with folks. Okay? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no peace without the peacemaker. They can sign all these contracts. They can sign all these covenants and Iraq pact and peace pacts. There won't be no peace. There won't be no peace till the Lord returns. It's not getting better. I mean, you know, we talk about this. It's going to get better. All these candidates, politician time, it's election time. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's going to get bloodier. It's going to get more hateful. And some of us, it's coming. You go to these restaurants. I go to the gym. I watch everybody coming there with a backpack on, book bags and duffel bags. I'm watching where they lay them down at. Amen. I'm watching. We watch and pray. That's what the Word of God say. Because they're going to start blowing up Planet Fitness and blowing up the Y's, and you're going to be sitting at Applebee's and boom, it's going to blow up. You better have your grace. See, do you have the grace to be in the Boston Marathon, and you do you have the grace to get your legs blowed off? Some of we is oh, my beautiful legs. That's my most beautiful body part. You get your biceps blowed off, then live. Paul says this, talk about grace. He said, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand. I like that. You got to stand in God's grace. You got to stand in God's grace. Because if you stand in anything else, you're going to get blown out. You're going to get blown over. You're going to get rolled over. And this world going to consume you. And you stand on your own. And then there's a whole lot. You know, I don't need all that. You Christians use Christianity as a crutch. I do. I have two crutches. You look at Glorice back there. That's a picture of a Christian walking around with crutches. Because I can't stand on my own. I can't stand on my own. I need the Lord. He said, where we stand? Not only do we stand in the Lord, but we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's what I'm talking about. You don't have no hope. You don't have no hope. You leave here, you don't know where you're going, because you don't believe in heaven or hell. You don't believe in the Word of God. You don't believe in preaching. You don't believe in anything. But when you leave here, where are you going? I don't know. Going to sleep. Soul sleep. came up with that? James Brown? No. Soul Sleep. I like sleeping. So when I die, I'm going to be all right because it's just like sleeping. You ain't read the Word of God. Well, I don't believe the Word of God. Okay, don't believe it. You believe it. Because everybody in hell believe the Word of God. Amen. Everybody in hell believe the Word of God. Huh? Paul's power was evident in his life. He talked about it. He walked in it. He understood it. And he took it. The Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous. All who desire to live godly in Christ shall suffer. Paul lived a suffering life. You know, I don't suffer. You ain't got to suffer. I ain't talking about you suffering all the time. We had a good time yesterday. Y'all heard Sylvia. I was eating good, talking, laughing. I had a good time. I had a good time being with my peoples. Being with my peoples. I had a good time. When I say suffer, I mean your life is just suffering all the time. God didn't create us to suffer all the time. If he did, we wouldn't have children and loved ones and the different things that he provided for us. But we're going to suffer. We ought to be suffering now. We look at this world. We look at the condition of this world. We ought to be suffering. When we look at our loved ones who don't know the Lord, who can care less about the things of God, and it's going right on about their merry business, and we can sit there and say, we know the Lord, and we got the answer that we don't want to share. We don't want to talk about it. Paul, in verse 10, talk about his problem. We talk about his prayer life. We talk about his praise right now, and it all flows together. Paul says in verse number 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. How about that? How about that? Y'all know the hospital can be a cruel place. You unsaved in the hospital? Listen, I don't even know how some of these nurses do it. Dealing with somebody unsaved and they know they're going through. They can be mean. Honoring. Honoring. And then they, doctor, do something, do something. You dying, bro. You dying, sister. I remember one of the saddest funerals I ever went to was a woman, and she lost all her kids in a fire. I think five of them. They had them in caskets together, two of them. I think Jasmine and Kiera would know that happened about 5 years ago. And they buried them in the caskets, and the woman didn't have no church. She didn't have no pastor. Nobody knew her. They was calling the clergy from all around. She had no relationship with the church, no relationship with God, no relationship with God's people. And I'm sitting here like, how are you handling all this in your own strength? It was just a horrific day for me. See the little babies in the casket. And the mother, and none of them knew the Lord. And I was like, oh my God. And then when you see stuff like that, it ought to compel you to preach the truth. I can't get up here and entertain you guys. Because I know what's lurking around the corner. Paul says, I therefore take pleasures in infirmities, sickness. I end reproaches. And I say this because we in a thin-skinned world. Okay? I grab Coop's shirt. Some of y'all want me to grab my shirt. I punch him. Just emotional. I'm like, you so emotional. Stop being so emotional. I talk to people all the time. They're so emotional. Oh, call me ugly. Oh, he called me fat. Oh, he called me black. Oh, he called me short. Oh. Just so emotional. Everybody's so emotional. Christians ought not be. Ought to be in the market. You short. Vernon, you short. How do you see this Band-Aid? I wouldn't say that if he was emotional. Don't call me short. I got the short man syndrome. In reproaches, you're going to get reproached. Yes, listen. There are folks that reproach Elmer Jr. Sr. Why? Dude, you wearing a suit? In a tie? Ain't got a job? You know, people will reproach young people, get a job. You get a job. Man, what you working for? You crazy. Something wrong with you. You got a job. I got 10 girls, I ain't got a job. Therefore, I take pleasure. Paul, take pleasure. and infirmities and reproaches and necessities in my wants. Why could Paul do this? Because he knew, you know, God was going to take care of him when it was all said and done. He had a mission to do, and he knew what he had to go through, and he knew when it was all said and done, God was going to take care of him. Amen. See? We so horizontal. We so worried about what this man think of us or what this woman think of us. We're not parallel at all. All we worried about is pleasing the person next to us and this person. And God said, we get parallel. I'm happy if I'm pleasing the Lord. I ain't worried about y'all. Y'all gonna be happy. Y'all gonna be happy with me if I'm all right with God. Okay? When I start worrying about you guys, take my eyes off the Lord, I'm gonna be sinking. I'm gonna be sinking. And you will too. Because Paul said, pleasures and infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and in distresses. Paul said, You're gonna go through. You get up here and start talking about the Lord. I don't care where you at. You can be in your job. You can be in your backyard. Like yesterday, we started talking about the Lord. We met confrontation yesterday. So when we walked into the park, we ran in. And water ain't turned on. Electric ain't turned on. We ain't opening the gates. Y'all ain't paid the bill. We got the receipt right here. But that's just life. Amen. Now, I've talked to the man. I'm glad Margaret wasn't there. Margaret ain't there yet. She getting there, though. Okay, I'm going there. Whoop, up there. All the Struthers police would have been at the park. But we getting there, and this is why we had to teach it like this. But you're going to go through. Amen. And there's a way you have to carry yourself, and there's a way you have to behave yourself in this world when you're standing for God. Amen. And you represent. Because, see, we the only Bibles a lot of folks ever going to read. Mm. And a lot of them know these scriptures. A lot of devils know these scriptures. The devil know the word of God. Mm. Okay. You call yourself, you represent. You got your little cross on. You got your fish on the back of your car. You got your What Would Jesus Do bracelet on. Cussing woke out. Paul's praise. Like Paul's praise. He was able to praise God and all that. He says, I can praise God for when I'm what? Weak. I'm strong. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. What's he talking about? What's he mean? Okay? When I'm out of myself. When I know I can't deal with this thing. When I know I can't deal with this thing. I know that my relationship with the Lord is all the strength I need. Be strong in the Lord. He says it all the time. Be strong in the Lord. Paul said, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Moses knew what he was talking about. Moses knew. We sit there and watch that movie the other day. But Moses knew. Hebrews 11:25 said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. What gave Moses that power? Because he knew that God was going to take care of him. And Moses said, who should I say sent me? Tell him I am sent you. That's enough. That's all Moses needed to hear. And he was off to business. He was off to business. Listen. In 2 Corinthians 4, I like this. Paul was suffering. We are. Okay? Some of us had a picnic yesterday out that sun and walking around, you know, touch your knee, get knee replacement surgery. We going through. Okay? Heart surgeries. We got some more surgeries coming up. Folks getting out of the hospital. Folks going into the hospital. You know, Sharon was dealing with some things. That's probably one of the first times, you know, being a young lady like she is, she went through some stuff like that. And it's probably a little bit touchy for her. I'm off work. I can't do what I want to do. But Paul says, 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not. Fainting Christians ain't good Christians. We ought not be fainting. Oh, get a bad report. Oh, you gotta get your tonsils out. Oh, faint. Listen, but through our outward man perish. Terry, you know something about that? Yet the inward man, the inward man, the spirit man that's in you, the spirit that lives in you, the comforter, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So the weaker we get physically, the stronger we get spiritually. See, God couldn't use Moses when he was 40 years old. Moses was too strong. He was killing folks. He had strength. I'll take care of this myself. Then God sent Moses into the wilderness for 40 years and called him at 80 when his strength was gone physically. So now I can use you, Moses. Well, I can't duke him up like I used to. And you ain't got to do that no more. Well, how am I going to do it? Tell him I am. I hope y'all get that. And some of y'all too strong right now to be used. And God gonna break you. God gonna break you. He's gonna break you. And he'll be like, oh, Pastor, you wish you. I'm not superstitious. Everybody God used been broke. Okay? You ain't been through nothing, you can't talk about nothing. I ain't buried nobody. You don't understand. That's why you even sit there and blow people. Till you start losing yours. Then you understand. You understand better by and by. Then somebody said, well, I lost my mother. You know what I mean. I lost my father. You know what I mean. Okay. Some of y'all know what I mean. I lost my mother when she was young. I know what it means. Somebody tell me to lose my mother. I know what they're dealing with. Got to go to a funeral tomorrow. Lady lost her mother. I know what she's dealing with. Everybody don't. Mother's still running around. Okay. Paul's praise. Praise God all the time. Paul never stopped praising God. Even though he went through persecution, even though the infirmities, even though the necessities, even he went through everything and he still praised God. Where did he get that from? That from the Word of God. Paul knew the Word of God. Look at Psalm 69. I know I take y'all to different scriptures. Y'all hang in here. Y'all take a visit and go to a church and you ain't got to look, turn no scriptures. You'll miss it. Preacher just give you a verse and start clowning around. He'll be like, man, okay. That's interesting. And everybody's shouting and running all around like, what they doing? Think about this verse. Because we want to talk about what Paul was talking about. Here in Psalm 69, we hear David here. David knew something about the love of God's house. He says, for the zeal of thine house have eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. What's Paul? What's David talking about? He said he's getting the same thing God got when he came here in the flesh. They despised Jesus Christ. We know Isaiah 53 said they despised him. They rejected him. They beat him. They humiliated him. They did everything they can to him. And Paul is saying, and David is saying that the zeal of God's house have eaten me up. He said, the love I have for the house of God, the love I have for ministry, the love I have for teaching and preaching God's word has eaten me up. Eaten me up. What's eating you up? What eats up a lot of people? Pride, greed, lust. The man of God, the woman of God ought to be eaten up by the love of the things of God. By the love of the sharing the word of God. And you get out there and share the word of God, you're going to get some reproaches. You're going to get some, and we don't like that. But it's a necessary. If you're really going to tap in to the beauty and to the love of the things of God, you got to step out there. You got to step out there on faith and take some hits. Take some hits. We don't want no hits. We want a thorn-free Christianity. No thorns. You ever watch the mountain climbers? You ever go to the mall, to the gyms, now they got the stuff on the wall? It's not a smooth wall. Somebody sang a song, you can't climb no smooth mountain. They got little things on them. And you got to grab onto them. We don't want that. We want to get to heaven, but we don't want to grab onto nothing. Heaven, you need some stuff to hold on to. And you're going to go through some things. Many of us have gone through some things. I always ask, you on the right track? If you live in a life free of affliction, free of pain, free of sorrow, free of infirmity, free of sickness, you're probably on the wrong road. You have a relationship with the Lord, you're going to go through. I heard somebody say, well, some people just had an affair with Jesus. They never really had it. We just had a fling. We went out and we kicked it, and we, you know, he went his way, I went mine. And we just, that's our relationship with the Lord. It's just, we just didn't connect. He was talking about holiness and righteousness and sanctification and resurrection and the cross and Calvary and rising from the grave. And I just wanted to, I'm talking about spring break. You know, I'm talking about getting high and I'm talking about partying. We just didn't hit it off, so we just agreed to disagree and go our separate ways. But I'm still a Christian. I'm still a Christian. You know, I just don't believe the Bible. I'm done. How y'all doing? Think about it. James, Peter, and Jude, all those, they got this. They got this praise thing. Listen to some of the things they said. They got this praise thing. I know I said I was done, but I turned the page. Think about this praise thing. Here's James. James got his head cut off. His first martyr, Nero. Enough of him. Okay, I'm on knees praying all the time. He said, brethren, James 1 and 2, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Count it all joy. Here's Peter 1 and 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The world is all about temptations. My heart go out to you young folks, honestly. You got them little devices. You got the TV now, and they spending millions of dollars on commercials trying to get you high, trying to get you drunk, trying to get you in a relationship, trying to get you messed up. And they just, all their money, all their time, and they just tell you the world got so much to offer you. No, it don't. The world got hell to offer you. Amen. That's all the world got. And he disguises it good. He lures you in. You know what a lure is? It's a fishing term. You know a lure, you know, fish with hooks on it. You can't see the hooks in the water. It look like a regular fish. It look like a regular fish. You throw it out there, then you just, and they got them shaped where they bob and they go dipping. They call them dipping divers, you know? And a fish come along, and some of us like fish, big mouth bass. Man, look at that fish, looking good. It's all enamel. It's all paint. Okay? And it's dipping and diving. And you just, oh, I got it. This is so good. Until you feel them hooks.
Amen.
Until you feel them hooks. You're trying to get away. Okay? And you start singing OJ's. He got his hooks in me. See? And you get them hooks in you. I can't get them out. I catch a fish with the hooks in their mouth. Got to throw it back, but it ain't no use throwing it back. I'm just dead.
Amen.
And your tongue all out. You pull the, you work it. They got fish things to take the hook out of the mouth. All that don't work. And blood coming all over your hand. You get the hook out. Throw the fish in the water. Flapping all around. And that's what some of us say. I can tell you got the hooks in. You got just flapping all around. Just flapping all around. And now you pray. Now you in a bad situation, and now you've been victimized, and now you're walking around all weak. And guess what? Satan getting ready to come and consume you. But he's looking for you all week now. And that next thing you know, you in another relationship. You in another relationship. You in another relationship. And then you're all messed up. Then you're all messed up. Because you've been in every relationship. You've been in every relationship that the person who's been in a relationship been with. Now you've been with everybody that person been with. So if this brother been with nine, you've been with nine and the nine and the nine, and it's a mess. It's just a mess. The grace of singleness. The grace of purity. Oh my goodness. Look how Jude says it. Some of y'all know Jude, so I love Jude. He said, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who walk after their own ungodly lusts. Mockers. Talk about the Lord of God. Hate Christians. Talk about it. That's what you got now. Throughout the world, people, Christians are crazy. You know what? We crazy now. For believing the Bible, we crazy. Really? It's only gonna get worse for the church.
Amen.
So I preach these kind of messages because you better have your can of grace, because it's gonna get bad, real bad for the church. Father, thank you for the Word of God.